إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فهو المهتد ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا، ونصلي ونسلم ونبارك على الحبيب المصطفى صلاة وسلاما عليك يا سيدي يا رسول الله. أما بعد، brothers and sisters, today I just want to highlight some of the points that has been mentioned in the story of Prophet Musa. And I think it is sometimes when you read the story of the whole Quran, which has been actually replicated, I'm not going to say the word replicated, however, actually has been mentioned in the Quran in different ayat, but in every ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken it from a different perspective, just to highlight the point. And all the stories that has been mentioned in the Quran, always like this actually, has been mentioned in every part of the ayat, part of the story has been mentioned to highlight the point or the wisdom behind it. Except one story in the whole Quran, which is the story of Prophet Yusuf, the whole story was in one surah and has not been replicated or has not been found in any part of the Quran, because it has been concatenated totally in one surah, which is Surah Yusuf. But I want to highlight some of the points in the story of life of Prophet Musa, just to highlight some of the wisdom, because I think sometimes we highlight in one point of it, which is probably the part where Prophet Musa confronted Pharaoh or Fir'aun, the king of Egypt at that point in time, with the power of magic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him. But that is a very small part of the story. The story has many, many, many points that I want to stand and stop at these ones, and just to highlight, and just try to project it to our life at the moment and see. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that everything has an example in the Quran, which is true. And if you try to find out some of the facts that we are living around and see, is there an example? And you will find the example in the Quran. And just to start with this one actually, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told Prophet Musa, وَاصْطَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي بِسُورَةِ طَهَا وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling him, your character, the way you behave, will be صَنَعْتُك. صَنَعْتُك, that means I will, as if I'm going to make you or to manufacture you. This is, we're not talking about creation here. No, the creation has happened already. But how to reform or to form his character, to form his attitude, to form how he talks, to form how he's going to confront the Pharaoh, because that is a dictator king in the history. How you're going to confront him. And that's why Allah used the word وَلِتُصْنَعَنْ وَاصْطَنَعْتُكْ وَلِصْطَنَعْ in the Arabic language. And let me just highlight this, because it's very important to understand the language, to understand the meaning. الاصطناع أو استخراج, meaning that the end result is known up front before you make it. I'll give you a good example. In the Arabic languages, we totally use that word every day. استخراج البترول. Why don't we say in Arabic إخراج البترول? Because استخراج means to get the oil out of the, you dig in and you get the oil. But because you have done already the research and you know there is oil down there, and that's why you use the word استخراج, because you know the result. I'm going to dig here, I'm going to find oil. So I use the word استخراج, not إخراج. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said وَصَّنَعْتُكْ. The same word استخرج is used in Surah Yusuf. استخرجها من وعاء أخيه. If you remember in Surah Yusuf, they put the measurement of the king, صواع الملك, they put him in his brother's bag. So they know it's inside. I'm going to get it from inside because I know it's inside already. And that means I know the result before I do it, just to know the meaning. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, اصطنعتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. That means the end result of your character or how you behave is known to Allah. And that's why, how am I going to get his character at the end like this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him go through a very special way. And the special way started from when he was very young. He grew up in the king's palace. Now, you could say, just it happens by coincidence that he grew up in the coincidence. It's not a coincidence, actually. Because look at this. When you grow up somewhere, then that means you have already contacted those people which you have already known about face to face. So when he grew up in the Pharaoh's palace, who's the king. So he's seen him face to face. He has seen him attitude like a human being. You probably see him wearing his probably underwear or something, because he's inside the house. And that means that then when Fir'aun said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la," I'm your God. Wait a minute, I've seen him in underwear. How could he be a God? You know what I mean? So that you think about it, yeah, it makes sense. But if you've seen him in the house, and that's what Allah made him grow up in the king's house. So when that king's house is going to say, "I'm going to be your God," what God you're talking about? I've grown up with you. I know who you are from inside out. I grew up, I've seen you in your palace. Okay, so to know that there is a purpose behind it, there is a logic behind it. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them all the way through to grow up in the king's palace, to know him personally, to see him face to face. So that means he knows what that person is like. So that's first step to know the sunnah. Allah is manufacturing his character to know this one. Another point actually, which is to know what a dictator is behaving, how a dictator is behaving. Allah gave us some very interesting points, and I just want to highlight these ones. First of all, a dictator is a liar, but he doesn't admit that he is a liar. But he does what he has to behave. He is accusing the others to be liars, and that's what exactly the king of Egypt has done. He said, "وَإِنِّي لَأُظُنَّهُ كَاذِبًا." Yani, I think Musa, Prophet Musa, is a liar. Now, who is lying? Actually, Pharaoh is lying. Fir'aun is lying. The king of Egypt is lying. But he cannot say, "I'm a liar," because he has to choose the others are lying. So that means, and that tells you, a dictator behavior doesn't have a logic or a justification for the behavior. So how he's justifying it? He's accusing the others of doing this, not himself. And what that means tells you that when a dictator is accusing the others of liars, that means he's lying actually. And that's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala highlighted this, وَإِنِّي لَأَظُنُّهُ كَاذِبًا. To know that that's a dictator, that's how he behaves. Okay? A second one, a dictator cannot confront you face to face. He's going to call everybody to face you to prove that you are wrong, not to prove that I am right. When Prophet Musa came in and threw his action, show him the power that he has, what did Fir'aun has done? He could have killed him, but he doesn't want to do that. He says, "Arja wa akhrij fil mada'il hashirin." Call every magician in the country to face him. He is the king. He could have killed him up front, but that's a dictator mind. I'm stubborn enough. He just wants to prove I am right in any way. And subhanAllah, and that tells you his arrogance denies totally this, denies the truth. He doesn't want to see that it's a fact here behind it. And that tells you how a dictator behaves. Third one, Fir'aun came into the conclusion and said, "Ana rabbukum al-a'la." That doesn't happen in just like a coincidence like this. There are stages for any dictator to be a dictator. You've left him from the first step to come to the end and admit, "I'm your God." But what are the stages in between? Allah tells us about this interesting stage. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُمْ فَأَطَاعُوهُ. استخف قوم. What does it mean? استخف قوم, that means his people, he knows they will follow him anyway. So whatever I'm going to say as a dictator, everybody will say, "Yes, you're right." Nobody will say no. And that tells you a dictator is not someone who's going to be in one night or in one day be a dictator. It takes time for people to get silent, people to get quiet. It's not my problem. I just want to live my life. I'm not going to say it's wrong. And so on and so on and so on. And then at the end, you are actually building a dictator. فَاسْتَخَفَّ قَوْمَهُمْ فَأَطَاعُوهُ. اسْتِخْفَافِ الْقَوْمُ. He knows that his people is just going to follow him. Nobody's going to stand in front of him. The only person who stand in front of him told him a simple fact. A simple fact. أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهُ. And just someone who told you, "I believe in Allah." What's the problem to leave him? أَتَقْتُلُونَ رَجُلًا أَنْ يَقُولَ رَبِّيَ اللَّهِ. Very simple. If someone wants to believe in Allah, just let him believe in it. What's the issue? Just leave him. But that is not a dictator. He's not going to let it happen. Everybody has to worship me as a dictator mindset. The story is telling us these highlights. I'm trying to get the facts from the Quran and project it. What is going on in our Muslims world to tell you that we are It's not something that happens in coincidence, actually, to this one. It takes years and years and years. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, as a Muslim, one of your tasks is not to find something wrong and keep silent. مَنْ رَأَى مِنْكُمْ مُنْكَرًا فَلْيُغَيِّرْهُ بِيَدِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطَعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَطَعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَهُوَ أَضْعَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you find something wrong, in any shape, in any form, it doesn't matter how, you have to fix it. As long as you have the power, you have the knowledge. If you can't, say it to someone, فَبِلِسَانِهِ, say it to someone who knows, but just don't keep silent. If you can't do both of them, at least فَبِقَلْبِهِ, يعني at least deny it with your heart. At least. But don't come to the conclusion that you have to accept it even with your tongue. No! Don't accept it, because it's a sin. And that's why you have to understand it. The build of a dictator takes years. And that tells you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, tell us all of these incidents in that story to tell you how. To tell you how that happens. There is a huge amount of wisdom behind the story. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Musa from Egypt, escaping. He's running away. Go all the way across what we call it now Sinai. All the way to the other side, in the northwest of Saudi Arabia at the moment, Madian. And he stayed there. Now, it's a long trip, and it's on foot. You have to understand this. Walk all of that on foot. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom to stand for this one and build Musa. صَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِ. To come in at the end with huge despair inside. Prophet doesn't despair, but he's very exhausted, very tired. Came in, has no money, has nothing. And came into to Madian. And then the story started. And that tells you what is the character of Prophet Musa. Despite the fact that he was tired, he has no money, he is in a very, very bad social situation, financial situation. But when he has seen two ladies that need help, he stands for it. He didn't say it's not my problem. He didn't say I don't know them. He didn't say I'm a stranger here, I don't care. No. When he finds two ladies that need help, he stands for it and asks, what do you need? And then he finds out that they need water. And just they cannot get stand in front of all men fighting for water to get it. And then he took the responsibility. And he got water for them. Now, no money, no benefit, but that's his attitude to help. To stand and help. Don't just say, it's not my problem, I'm not going to do anything, I'm tired, I have nothing. Do whatever you can, even with the minimum skills you can. But one step ahead is better than nothing. One step ahead is better than nothing. And that's what Prophet Musa has done. And that turns into a very good end at the end. And that's it. Because those two ladies, they took in the water, they got away to the father, who's actually Prophet Shu'aib. And they told him about the man who helped him. So he ordered one of them to go and call him. When she go and called her, actually, she came back with a very interesting conclusion. She said, you know, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ إِسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. يعني the best, because he asked him actually to hire him, to work for him. And she told him, he's very good. He's strong and honest. And if you analyze this, you find, yeah, he's strong because he actually managed to move the stone on the water well and move it and get the water and very strong. But she said, إِنَّ خَيْرَ مَنْ إِسْتَأْجَرْتَ الْقَوِيُّ الْأَمِينَ. She said, he's honest. Where did the honesty came from? And if you look at the details of the story, you'll find that when that lady came to him and asked him, إِنَّ أَبِي يَدْعُوكَ لِيَجْزِيَكَ أَجْرَ مَا سَقَيْتَ لَنَا. My father wants to call you, invite you, to give you the reward because you've helped us. What he has done, now she has to take him, walk with him to the house. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم، استغفروه. الحمد لله وكفى، الصلاة والسلام على النبي المصطفى، اليمين والشمال مضلة، والطريق الوسطى هي الجادة، عليها ذات الكتاب ومنبر السنة، هلك من ادعى وخاب من افترى، وهلك أعداؤنا وأعداء الله. أما بعد، As I said, she came back to her father and she told him إن خير من استأجرت القوي الأمين، يعني he is honest and strong. And as I said, we can understand that he's strong, but where is the honesty came from? And that's the point. When she came to him actually and asked him, now he's going to walk with her to their house. One of the behavior of prophets, that they are in continuation of dhikrillah. They are mentioning Allah and remembering Allah. That's their behavior. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as I said, prophets are mustafin, selected. Not anyone. It's a task from Allah. You have to be very much, very well equipped to be a prophet. Not anybody can do that. So what he has done, she's actually in front of him and he's following her. فَشَغَلَتْهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Then what he said, you go behind me, take some stones. If you want me to go right, throw the stone to the right. If you want me to go left, throw the stone to the left. She's behind. He's in front. He doesn't want to see her walking in front of him. The lady got the idea, this man has to be honest. I think you got why he's honest. That's the Prophet is about. صَنَعْتُكَ لِنَفْسِي. When he came into Prophet Shu'aib, فَقَصَّ عَلَيْهِ الْقَصَصِ. He told him the whole story, I have done this, I've escaped from Egypt because of this. He told him this, you're safe, you're secured here, nothing's going to happen to you. And then he hired him, gave him the choice of 8 to 10 years that he's going to work as a shepherd for him. But then at the same time, he actually gets him married to one of his daughters. So that means Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the whole story, turned it into when he came out of Egypt, financially, socially, in very, very bad circumstances, end up marrying and have a job. And he lived, as we thought in the hadith, 10 years. And then he came back to Egypt. Now, the story and the task to be a prophet started. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make him go through all of this experience to be get out and escape of Egypt. Even when he was very young, just baby born. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضِعِيهِ إِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِيهِ فِي الْيَمِّ وَلَا تَخَافِي وَلَا تَحْزَنِي إِنَّا رَادُّوهُ إِلَيْهِ وَجَعِلُوهُ مِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ فَاتَّقَطَهُ آلُ مُوسَىٰ آل فرعون يكون لهم عدوا وحزنا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us a very interesting meaning in this very simple ayah. Let me just explain it to you. That's when he was a young baby. He was baby born, and the orders from the Pharaoh, anyone of babies of Bani Israel, the people or the grandsons of Israel, who is Prophet Jacob, a baby born has to be a boy, has to be killed. That's the order from the Pharaoh of Egypt. Why? Because he had a dream that one of them would take his kingdom. And Prophet Musa, now he has to be applicable, that he has to be killed. And that's why his mother was very afraid that that might happen to him. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told her, and told her what she has to do, and has got no choice in her mind to do anything else. وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ الْوَحْيِ إِخْبَارًا فِي السِّرِّ. الْوَحْيِ من الله سبحانه وتعالى doesn't have to be a prophet, sorry, an angel came in. No, it has many, many shapes. And Allah mentioned 4 different ways of وَحْيِ. One of them that happens to Ummi Musa, the mother of Prophet Musa. What happens to her? Her mind has one idea, which is actually, logically, if you think about it, it goes totally across the logic. Meaning, Pharaoh, or the king of Egypt, is going to kill him, Anyway, because that's the order to the soldiers. So they are actually waiting for every lady that is pregnant, waiting and see if the baby is a boy, kill him. If the baby is a girl, leave her. So that means, according to this order, he has no choice. But maybe I can't stay. Then, what's the other choice? The other choice is that, put him in a box and throw him in the Nile. But that's also a very dangerous, not a safe one. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us, وَأَوْحَيْنَا إِلَىٰ أُمِّ مُوسَىٰ أَنْ أَرْضَعِيهِ فَإِذَا خِفْتِ عَلَيْهِ فَأَلْقِهِ فِي الْيَمِ. يعني first of all, fostering him, make him satisfied. Then he's going to go to Fir'aun. But when he's going to go to that palace of the Pharaoh of Egypt, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used a very interesting meaning. He said, لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. يعني when you read it, so the Pharaoh of Egypt and his soldiers took Prophet Musa, and he's going to be as if he's going to be the enemy. But if they know if he is going to be the enemy, then they should have killed him up front. But this lamb, لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا, is called لَمْ الْعَقِبَةِ in the Arabic language. لَمْ الْعَقِبَةِ meaning that you know the, you don't know the result when you've done it. So they've taken him first as a son to them, to grow up in their palace. But لَمْ لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا, that means at the end he's going to be their enemy. But they don't know the end. And this is called in Arabic لَمْ الْعَقِبَةِ, that means you start to do something and you don't know the end of the result. You think that it's going to be in your favor, but actually it's going to be against you. لِيَكُونَ لَهُمْ عَدُوًا وَحَزَنًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make all of that to enable Prophet Musa to stand in front of the Pharaoh of Egypt. That tells you, when you go through difficulty, I just want to come to a lot of conclusion to this one. When you go through difficulty, it's not a coincidence. It was meant to you because you're going to find another circumstances that you have to be prepared before you go to this. But if you don't know this, that's the point. A lot of times we go through difficulty, but we think, why am I in this? I shouldn't have been in this. I should have been in this one and still be enjoying my time and all of that. But maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing you for something different. And you have to know this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, nothing in our life happens just a coincidence. And it just happens by haphazard and no meaning and no objectives. No. It happens for a reason. It happens for a logic. It happens for a purpose. But the purpose, you don't know that purpose and you don't know this one. Because ghaib, as we know as a Muslim, or something that is going to happen in the future, is not known to me. It's not known to you. It's not known to anybody. Not even known to prophets. يعني Prophet Muhammad عليه الصلاة والسلام in the Quran, he said, لو كنت أعلم الغيب استكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء. يعني if I know what's going to happen to me tomorrow, then that means I'll go and select, okay, I'll just choose that I'm going to be a millionaire because this is me, but I'm going to select this one. Or someone is going to hit me tomorrow, the day after tomorrow, I'm going to avoid him. لستكثرت من الخير وما مسني السوء. But he doesn't know the future. And that's why he's still going through difficulty. And that's why it's applicable to you and me. We will go through that difficulty. But you are, in your life, you have to prepare yourself and prepare your daughter and son. Prepare them, not to protect them totally, but prepare them to stand and protect themselves. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did with Prophet Musa. He made him protect himself. Not purely, absolutely protected. No. You have to know that you have to train yourself, train your son and daughter to protect themselves. بَصَّنِعُ. That means to give him that true training to get to that result. Any one of us is going through training in your life. That's a training because you have will be in a different result. And that's why you have to train yourself. Your son or your daughter, don't come in when they grow up and then, oh, now you have to pray. Or now you have to, your daughter, you have to work. You have to train him. Get him that value. Do it yourself. Get him the value inside. He might be resisting, which is true, and we have to know this. Our sons and daughters will not be saying, yeah, I'll do this directly. No. Especially when they are teenagers, they will resist. And in read the story of Imam Anas ibn Malik. Imam Anas ibn Malik grew up while he was very young with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And his mother took him to Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and asked him, just to make him kishidmatic, and make him in your service. Whatever you want to tell him to do, just make him do it. So he grew up
totally all his life with Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. When he came in at the start of Gaza, 10 years and 11 years, like any other boy, Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam told him to do something and he said, no, I'm not going to do it. So it's Prophet Muhammad, I said, laughed. And he started actually, as we should call him, as like tickle him from the back. Because he knows he's a teenager, that's a normal thing. So don't just confront him and no, accept it. But just give him the value. It's a matter of training. And that's why these values, you have to train your son. And our Prophet, yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did it with Prophet Musa. Not just a prophet up front, go and confront this dictator up front. No. Get him through a manufacturing process. صَنَعْتُكَ لِنَسْلِ وَصَنَعْتُكَ عَلَى عَيْنِ To be, grow up in a special way. To get that person who could stand for a specific task. Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam has a very interesting skills, and I don't know if you've probably from his biography or seerah from Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had a very interesting skills actually, which is very much an important skills for managers. Who to select and who not to select. Yani, if you look at the Sahaba, all of them are excellent in terms of Muslims and do worships and everything. But does that mean everyone is actually good for every task? No. Not at all. When he is sending someone, for example, to invite people for Islam, he never ever said, send Omar. Why? He's tough. He's going to say the right thing, but his style may not be acceptable. And that's why he told, send, for example, Mu'adh ibn Jabal, very soft. And that's one of the skills that you have to know. Select the right people for the right task. All of the Sahaba are excellent from their life. But who is going to be the right person for the right task? When Umar radiallahu anhu, he became and he needs someone to judge, be a judge in Iraq, who selected? Sayyidina Ali, karramallahu wajhah. Why? He has that mindset of truth. He has that mindset getting to the right conclusion, the right questions, to get to the right conclusion and say the right hukum. And that's one of the skills. And that's what you have to understand. Understand your child, daughter and boy, skill. And according to this, the conclusion is that you have to train him to be, at the end, worshipper to Allah. To follow Allah, you will find resistance, that's normal. But remember, even prophets have gone through that experience. And you have to get from that example. And get that example and do it. Train your son and daughter. وَصَّنَعْتُكَ عَلَى عَيْنِ Make it, manufacture your daughter and son to have that mindset of a Muslim. Whatever he or she is going to work eventually, but to be that Muslim, to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I hope inshaAllah, the logic, and I haven't actually mentioned all the points in the story of Prophet Musa, because it's very, very long, very long. There's more and more and more points in Prophet Musa. But I can't tell you everything because it's very long. But I just highlighted some of the points. To highlight the point that you have to train your son and daughter. Allah has done it with his prophets. To manufacture someone or a character that will be able to confront someone. Make your son and daughter manufacture in your house with the good examples, with the right messages. You don't have to confront each and every time. Make it while he is young. Then when he's old, now he got the idea. He will resist you. He's not going to follow and every time he's going to say, yeah, I'll do it. That no, he will resist you. Just skip it. And this is the move that came. وَذَكِّرْ إِنَّمَا أَنْتَ مُذَكِّرْ لَسْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِمُصَدِّرْ أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم ارحمنا برحمتك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اجعل جمعنا هذا جمعا مرحوما وتفرقنا تفرقا معصوما ولا تجعل فينا ضالا ولا محروما اللهم وفق أولادنا لما ترضاه يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم وفق بناتنا لما ترضاه يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم ارزق بناتنا العفة والحجاب يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم ارزق بناتنا أزواجا صالحين وأولادنا زوجات صالحات اللهم أكرمهم بفضلك يا كريم اللهم وفق طلبة العلم يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم ارجعهم إلى بلادهم سالمين غانمين يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم وفقهم لما ترضاه يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم يسر عليهم العلم بفضلك يا أكرم الأكرمين اللهم اجعلهم ممن يستخدم العلم في طاعتك يا أرحم الراحمين اللهم تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم اللهم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم صل على محمد
وعلى آل محمد. اللهم صل عليه في الأولين والآخرين، وصل عليه في كل وقت وحين. اللهم تقبل صلاتنا ودعاءنا يا أرحم الراحمين. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة كانت على المؤمنين كتابا موقوتا.